My name is Dan Bornstein. I'll be moderating the session. I'm with the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina, and I'm very pleased to have a highly distinguished panel of speakers today. So thank you for attending. I think you're going to find these to be quite interesting. And we'll save questions for the very end of the presentation. So each of our panelists will come up, give their talk, and then we'll ask them to each come up to the tables here at the very end, and we can have questions there. So we're going to start with Dr. Kathy Nonis. By the way, with each of their bios, I added some fun facts that I made up. Hopefully they don't paint them in too horrible of a light. But it'll be up to you to determine which facts are true and which are not. But Dr. Nonis is with the Bureau of Chronic Disease and Tobacco Control with the New York City Department of Health. And as such, she's a senior advisor there, and her work has predominantly been in the areas of physical activity and nutrition and obesity. She's very distinguished with multiple publications, so we're incredibly happy to have her here. She believes, obviously, very strongly in the importance of public transportation. However, she believes more strongly in active transportation and has been known to race New York City buses from point to point. So with that said, Dr. Nonis, please make your way up.
Actually, if you know anything about New York City, you know it isn't very hard to race a bus in New York City. Traffic is what it is. Thanks for having me. I'm going to show you a little bit about what we've done in early child care. And first, I'm going to give you a kind of history of New York City. The first day nursery in the U.S. opened in New York City in 1854. There was also one in Buffalo, but we don't count that. And in 1910, the centers were actually regulated within a sanitary code. They weren't mandated, but they were regulated. And this is kind of interesting because there was a lot of debate about whether women should be putting their children in child care and maybe going out to work. In 1943, during the World War II, women often replaced men while men went off to war, and so they had to find a place for children. And so compliance with these regulations became mandatory, and people also began to certify the teachers. As a side note, during this time, physical activity was really important, and the child care centers were required 2 hours of outdoor play and a hot meal at noon and a daily allowance of at least a pint of milk a day. So just to give you a sense of what we oversee, the Department of Health oversees the top group, the child care centers, about 130,000 children. We have about 355,000 children in some sort of child care, but the ones that we have policy, legal jurisdiction over is this group child care, and that's what I'm going to talk about. So health departments are interesting because, you know, they supervise the reporting and control of communicable diseases, but now, really, over the last 75 years, we have learned that we also have to report and control chronic diseases, and that's kind of given us a new focal point. In 1870, New York State gave New York City home rule. And so the New York City Health Code, the Board of Health, actually has the rule of law over the jurisdictions that it oversees. The City Council also enacts local laws, but the Health Department actually oversees the legal pieces. So we could then restructure policy, and that's what we did for early child care. So we, in 2007, all group child care centers had to increase physical activity to at least 60 minutes a day, and at least 30 minutes must be structured for kids 3 and over, meaning learning how to catch a ball, learning how to throw a ball, all of those kinds of things that you need in order to play these games. There were also limits on TV. Remember, this is 2000. Actually, the policy was in 2006, enacted in 2007, so no more than 60 minutes of educational programming. And we also included water and no sugary drinks. So this is the previous language, and the previous language in the health code hadn't been changed since 1959. So the previous language said, indoor and outdoor play areas shall be available for the use of children. The new language established a required minimum number of physical activity minutes daily. That was the 60 minutes, and for children 3 years and over, also 30 minutes of structured. And also the previous language just talked about adequate periods of outdoor play, except during inclement weather. And the new health code said that it didn't matter what the weather was, there had to be an area that was available indoors for this physical activity. So there's no excuse not to do physical activity. Now here we had a problem. Any of you have ever rented an apartment in New York City, you know that they're like as big as a closet. And that's really what a lot of these child care centers look like. So to find space or to learn to be physically active in small spaces was really of a concern for us. So first, getting the word out. The center directors were invited to meetings that were organized in all five boroughs. We sent letters to all center directors. And we have sanitarians or inspectors who actually go out to inspect the child care centers. So they were taught how to open up the refrigerator and make sure there was 1% milk, to look at the juice, to make sure that the schedules for physical activity were up on a board and it had an hour allocated every day, et cetera. And early childhood education consultants actually came in with educational things for screen and also made sure that people were actually doing the physical activity that was on the schedule. We also did trainings, and here I want to just say one quick thing about trainings. Policy is fairly inexpensive. Programming is really expensive. Policy is really important to set a floor. It's nice if you have the money for training, but it's not the end of the world if you don't. So our goal was to train as many teachers as we could. We were lucky. We got a lot of money from the city council for a number of years. We trained about 14,000 people in 1,400 centers. It sounds great, but there's a lot of turnover. We would have liked to have continued it. We can't because we have no money. But we used Spark early childcare, and we adapted it with them for small spaces. And then due to politics, we couldn't use them anymore. And so we wrote our own curriculum and Move to Improve, and it's up on our website if you want to download it. So these are children in poverty, and the dark, dark blue areas are the areas where you see the highest areas of poverty, and the, I don't know if you can see it, but in three different areas, there's a red line around these three deep blue areas, and that's where we put district public health offices in. So our agency really feels that the offices should be in the places where people need them most. And so they work kind of with the community. You know, the agency works from the top down, and the community, the district public health offices work from the bottom up. So we were lucky, and I'm sure those of you in public health know that you put together policy, you never have the money for evaluation. So we had no money for evaluation but because of Robert Wood Johnson and the CDC, we got some money to do post. And I'm going to show you what the post is like. So there are 234 centers. We randomly chose that were at least had high poverty in those neighborhoods. We were careful to do this because we figured that physical activity was going to be most difficult in the high poverty areas where you didn't have money for extra dance teachers and you didn't have parents coming in all the time and helping out. 176 agreed to participate in a center component, which I'm going to tell you about in a second, and 110 of those agreed to participate in a classroom. So the phase one was in the fall of 2009, and these centers, basically we assessed whether they knew about the regulations, what they were, how they did them. We did a site inventory. We interviewed a number of different people, and I'm going to show you this, the results in a second. And the phase two was actually a direct observation of one classroom in each child care center that was of 3 to 4 year olds, and there were almost 1,500 kids that were looked at. And so success is harder than you think. What do you need? You need dedicated outdoor space, something that not every city has. You need extra indoor space. A lot of centers don't have that. It's helpful to have the child and adult care food program or Head Start or some larger entity supporting you. If your classroom size is too big, if your teacher-student ratio is too much, then you're going to have less physical activity in those centers. The number of staff trained in physical activity is helpful. Less turnover is also helpful. And your hours, if they're not open too long. So these are things that are just, you know, we have very little control over it. So it's really important when you look at this, and I'm going to show you this in a second, what your evaluators think and what is real world thinking. So most directors knew about it. 79% knew about the requirement for 30 minutes and 87 knew about the 60 minutes, but when they were observed, they didn't do so well. So in the study observation, not surprisingly, who would be surprised by this? Only 30% of centers were actually compliant with the actual 30 minutes of structured PA and only 35% with the total amount of PA in the 2 days of observations for these one classrooms that they looked at. It's really important to think about this, because does that mean that we weren't a success? I don't think so. I think when you're really looking at real world things, 70% taught approximately 15 of the 30 minutes of structured PA, so they were teaching structured PA, and 65% taught approximately 40 of the 60 minutes of total physical activity required, and those that were compliant actually did more than what was required. So this says that people are doing it, they just maybe need another push to get to these regulations. So in 2015, we added a couple of pushes. Daily physical activity was also partnered with decreased sedentary time to no more than 30 minutes at a time, which means you can't, except for nap time, you can't have them sitting around too much, and no more than 30 minutes instead of the 60 minutes of educational programming. And just in case you care about juice, we also changed the juice from 6 ounces to no more than 4 ounces of juice per day. So these are my last slides, and I want to say that enacting a policy that sets a new floor is going to lead to new thinking and some new change. And I think it's really important that we do that, that we set these floors. Every floor then increases the likelihood that people are going to commit to a change in their social norms in the centers. So if you have one floor and then you increase the floor, you can see this best with tobacco, right? 20 years ago, I'd ask you how many people smoke. And probably half of you would raise your hand. Now how many people here today smoke? Nobody even has the guts to raise their hand. But that's a change in social norms. It takes time, right? It takes time. So either way, I'm a proponent for raising the floor. So with that, I want to really thank the Department of Health, but I also want to thank all the evaluators from the Center for Disease Control, from Robert Wood Johnson, and from ICF International. Thank you.